Welcome to Reality of the Rose with your host, Natalie Sprink.
Hey everyone, welcome to episode 104 of Reality of the Rose. I'm your host, Natalie Sprink. You guys, I am more and more excited about this season with every episode. This is such a welcome surprise for me. I'm like all in again. I feel like refreshed. I feel like I am not yawning, wanting the show to be over with, thinking that it's just the same old, same old. I don't know what it is. I think it's charity. I think it's a combination of charity being such a welcome surprise from what I thought she was going to be. I think it is this group of guys, love them or hate them. I still think it's a really good, entertaining group of guys that just like, I don't know. They're just bringing the entertainment value. Like they're fun to watch and, you know, whether they're cringy, whether they are like legit, whether they're sweet, dot 'em. You guys, I love him. God, if he doesn't win, I want him to be the bachelor, like 1000%. But I actually want her to pick him, especially after just the little bitty segment that they had where she took him up to his room during the group date because she wanted to show him a little extra special time. Was he not the sweetest man in the world to her? Like, I don't even know. Like, just how he said what he said just seemed like absolutely so authentic and real that I was almost crying like she was crying. But anyway, I don't know what it is. This is just such a good season. I wish that it was people that listen to me here on this podcast. If any of you are like not watching the season, go watch the season. It is really, really good. I don't know. Even though tonight, I knew what was going to happen with Brayden, not because I'm spoiler free, but because actually, so criticism, the show spoils themselves. I knew Brayden wasn't going home because the scene that we saw way at the beginning where like Brayden's storming off and he has a scarf around his neck and he's yelling at someone hasn't happened yet. So even though I knew that was going to happen and I knew Brayden wasn't going to go home yet, I was still like, oh my God, is she going to send him home? Like, it was like they had me. I was like watching in anticipation of wondering what was going to happen next. And that hasn't happened on a season in so long. Also, what I think is different about this season, and call me like superficial, call me crazy, I don't know. But honestly, anticipating each new date or each new day or evening, I look forward to what Charity is going to wear. And that hasn't been the case for quite a few seasons. I'm not saying that I've like hated everyone's style that has been on the show, but I remember JoJo's season, always wondering what she was going to wear. I remember way, way back in Ashley Hebert's season, wondering what she was going to wear. I remember an Ali Fedotowsky season, wondering each time what she was going to wear, but I haven't felt that for a long time, but this season I feel that again. And that might be a real weird reason to look forward to it, but I do. Like every scene, I'm like, oh my God, what's she gonna wear? I can't wait to see what she's gonna wear. And she did not disappoint again this show. Oh, I love how she dresses. So that's so fun. Anyway, I'm just so pleasantly surprised with this season that I just can't say enough. So that being said, let's recap. How about it? Okay, so we learn at the beginning of the segment that there is 19 men left, which I wasn't 100% sure what we had left, but that's what we have. Oh, wait a second. What am I talking about? 19 men. That's not right. I typed a 9 instead of a 4. It's 14 men. So we learn there's 14 men left. I was like, there's not that many left. We right away get Aaron A, talking about Brayden, how he's a good guy, but he has toxic traits. So we know right away we're going to continue to have a lot of Brayden narrative. He's definitely absolutely getting his, and I think Brayden actually, this is what I predict. I think that he is going to obviously go home. He's never going to make it to the end. But he's providing great entertainment for this show, for this season. But I also think he's going to get, people are not going to like him when he leaves this show, but he's definitely going to make it onto Paradise. And he is definitely going to have a redemption arc. That's what I think. I think that we are going to start liking him on Paradise. That's what I think. So, okay. So Charity's outfit, she comes in and she's got this cute little, like foil looking foil, like light pink foil moto jacket with a little white crop top, crop, just t-shirt and jeans. And it's so simple, but it's so, it just, everything looks good on her. Anyway, cute, cute, cute. And so we did that. We have this little teaser thing where she comes in the mansion and she's like, guys, like, you know, this and this and this happened and blah, 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 blah. And I just can't do it anymore in LA. And they're like, yeah, woo. All right. You're like, oh, we're going to get like, where are we going? And we going to St. Lucia? No, they're going to Oceanside, California. What? Why? That's it. It's like, from what I understand, like a few hour drive. I thought that was quite strange. Yeah, we're going to Oceanside, California. I'm sure it's a beautiful place, but like we are expecting a little more. Maybe we'll get it yet. Surely they're going to travel. Surely they're going to like go travel further than like California, right? I mean, they have to, or we're, this is Charity season. It's great so far. So we need some really great travel places. But so far, no, that's not, Oceanside, California is not what I was hoping for. Anyway, but she says that, she tells him while she's there that one person is going to get a one-on-one and they get to travel to Oceanside with her in a helicopter. And it's Brayden. So they get in the same old little convertible that she went on her date with Aaron B. Right? Yes. And they get into the convertible, go to the helicopter, and she's talking about just whatever, that her and Brayden need to have some important conversations. They did a lot of Franken-biting with Charity on this date. On this date, they did a lot. And I don't know if any of you listen for that. And I forget to sometimes, but there's so many times where I catch it. Anytime you're not hearing, seeing them talk and it's like off face, just listen for it because it sounds like this when they are talking because they're taking clips from every single conversation that they have and putting it together. Like it's the weirdest thing. If you listened for it, it's real obvious. And they also do that stupid little, this part too, they could probably start leaving out. Like I don't need it anymore. And no one believes it's actually real, but it's where they're in the helicopter and they're flying over the mansion and they are supposedly picking out the mansion and saying, oh, look, there's the mansion and look, there's the guys. And the guys are supposedly looking up at the helicopter going, oh, there they are. And you know, like that sucks that they're flying right over the mansion. That's such a canned, corny thing. Like quit doing it. But like Brayden, I feel like is a producer's wet dream because I think that all they have to say is like, okay, now, act like you're looking out the window and let you see the mansion with all of the guys standing there. And he was like, oh my God, is that the mansion? I feel like that's a mansion. Like he goes over the top with how, like dramatic he is about pointing it out. And then he's like, haha, like really like rubbing in the salt, like, wait, rubbing in the salt, rubbing the salt in the wound, supposedly, even though they can't hear him, but like to the fourth audience, us, he, you know, is really, really making it seem like it's this big deal that anyway, whatever. Okay. So then we get the helicopter landing in Petco Park in San Diego, which is where the San Diego Padres play. The helicopter lands in the baseball stadium. And so they have this baseball date. And like, I did not like this date. I didn't like this date because this date for me was not that fun to watch because it was so like this date was a canned, very cut up and edited date. And it is one, I think that they're doing way better on this show with showing us funny things, like way better. Okay. But like with a date like this, I wish, now they did show that they did have the one thing happen when they were playing catch and he was telling her the story about how whenever when he was a kid, he was playing catch, but he got hit in the face with a ball. And like, literally, I don't know if it literally was, but at least from what we saw, he literally threw the ball to her and it hit her in the face. I shouldn't laugh. I wouldn't have laughed if it hurt her because her face is gorgeous and I would not want to mess that up. But like, he just told the story and then he hits her in the face. Of course, it was her that didn't catch the ball. So in a way, it was her fault. But the part that was annoying to me is like, they stand like 2 feet away from each other as they're playing catch. I mean, like literally, okay, not two, but honestly, it was probably like 7 feet apart. Like, I don't know. You can't even play catch like that. How can anyone play catch like that? And then she's like, I'm ready to do some hitting. And he's like, oh, really? And so then like the Padre little mascot guy is like helping pitch to him, you know, he's pitching again from like 7 feet away. And you can't, I mean, what are you doing? Like, first of all, if you actually hit that ball, you're probably going to hit somebody right in the face. But it, you know, they're not really playing ball. And you can just tell that that part's very directed and very produced. Like, okay, now we have to do a few minutes of you guys playing catch. Now we have to do a few minutes. Now, Brayden, you need to stand behind her and pretend like you're helping teach her how to bat. What, like, whoever, has anyone actually ever done that except for in the movies and on TV? I don't believe it. If you tell me, yes, I've done that, I don't believe you. And then like she's doing cartwheels and then he like does a back bend. And why are you doing a back bend? Like, what is happening right now? Why of like the hours that you're at this baseball field and you're filming this, why editors are you showing us Brayden doing a back bend? Whatever. Okay. So then, you know, that kiss, whatever. Okay. So that's parts kind of done. Then they show the bus. So the other boys take a bus to a place called the Seabird. And we get, again, this is also a very, very classic Bachelor thing that maybe they shouldn't get rid of because it's like so classic Bachelor that this part probably does go back. I can't remember, but this probably does go back to the very first one. But when they get to a new place, you doesn't matter if it's Bachelor or Bachelorette, they run in, they always either jump on the beds or pile on the beds together. Check. They did that. Then they always go into the bathtub and or shower. In this case, it was both. They had someone go in the shower and like be like, oh, I'm in the shower. And then they climb, two men climb into this little tiny bathtub. And why girls, maybe. But like, I don't think so, but for sure guys don't go into their new hotel room to go check out the tub. And even if they do, they don't climb into it with their clothes on with another guy when it's about a 4 foot tub. So I'm very confused how come this is a necessary part of Bachelor culture, but it clearly is. So I suppose we will continue to see that. It's so confusing to me. I don't like, you can just show them coming in and being like, oh man, this place is really cool. Oh, look at the view. Like, oh, this is a nice bedroom. But I don't need them to go, oh my God, a bathtub. Let's get in it together. Like, I'm not relating to what matters. And then we also got the classic scene of them walking out onto the balcony and being like, Charity, like, so we got that classic scene, totally classic scene, and we got it. So then we see Brayden and Charity having a moment at the ballpark where they're just talking, and this is where he's like starting to talk about how he has really good moments with her, but then whenever she's like with other guys, she hits really hard for him, and that he is just sometimes not sure that he can do this. And, you know, he is, I mean, I have to give him that. He is telling her up front that he is having a hard time with it, and not just like, I mean, I know they all say that, I feel like, at every point, because obviously it's not easy for any of them. Like, it's clearly not easy for any of them. And so he's being upfront about that, which I actually can totally respect. That's not the part of him that I have a problem with at all. And actually what he says later in the show about how, you know, like, I don't really know her that well, and I'm not sure that I'll be ready for an engagement at the end. I actually can totally respect that. Like, that actually is whatever I preach all the time, that this show is so unrealistic that that's probably a normal thing for him to say. That's not the part I have a problem with him with. The part I have a problem with is that if what she's saying is true, and she really does want someone that is going to be ready to be engaged, and he's pretty much saying, I don't want to, then send him home. I also have a problem with how he acts around the guys and how he acts in front of the cameras. It's very clear in his ITMs and when there's not other guys around. And there was a couple, I know one for sure, scene where he was very, very, very apparent that he knew the camera was on him. And he was very aware of the camera and was like showcasing and peacocking in front of it. Not to mention his get-ups all the time. So that's what makes me question, like for true, I know it's a show. I get people go on here to get noticed. So I really think he is, like, if you're going to use there for the wrong reasons, that truly is Brayden. But it's also very clear to me, and I always feel like you can't necessarily fake this, even if it's for the show. And if the show's telling her to keep him around, I'm not sure that's true, because like when she had some like one-on-one time with him, and I think it might've been, geez, at the end, she really does seem like she is pretty comfortable with him and really at ease with him. Like, she doesn't take that like awkward, like sitting stance. I don't know if any of you know what I'm talking about, but like you can just tell if they're just sitting there straight up talking to him, like, and I mean, literally sitting straight up with their back straight up. But as soon as she's with him, she leans into him and she's just relaxed. Like, her body language shows that she's into him, but I just can't figure out why. 'Cause he just seems like he just seems so arrogant. And she doesn't seem like she would be with a person like that. She should be with Dotton, whatever his name is. That's who she'd be with. But anyway, okay. Getting off track here. How much time do I have? Okay, playing. So anyway, let's see. This is another place where she is ITMing about, like, she is ITMing that she's a little bit concerned about the things he's saying and that it freaks her out a little bit. And I didn't like type out exactly what she had said, but it was during this segment at the very end of segment two, where there's a very freaking bitten part where it sounds like she's taking these three words and it's taken from a different sentence over here like that. Okay. So then of course she says like this token thing about, oh, she, you know, if she didn't hear what she wants to hear by the end of the nighttime portion of the date, she'll not give him a rose. Well, we know that's not going to happen, but anyway, so then we have the group date card next. Okay. And so the group date's going to be Joey, Aaron B, Michael, James, Caleb, Aaron S, Sean, Xavier, Tanner, Adrian, and John, which means that Warwick got the one-on-one. Oh my God. That part was amazing. That part was funny as hell. Kudos to the producers for that part, but we'll get to it. Okay. So here she has this very cute cropped, like light beige leather jacket. What do you call it? Like a bomber jacket. So cute. She had this little like sequin bandeau top underneath it. And then she had white jeans on and heels. Oh my God. Again, loved it. So this is the nighttime portion. And, they kind of start talking about this again, about him possibly wanting to leave. And he talks about being cheated on and how, and he likens that to this, which is not the same. Like he's trying to say, because you're kind of, he didn't say this, but what he's meaning is like, I feel like because you're going out on dates with other people, but you're quote unquote dating me, that that's like cheating on it. And so it says it's taking him and walking him back into that trauma. Okay. So really she can say the same thing because she was cheated on and she just went through the season with Zach and he did the same thing. So like, I get it. Everybody feels differently about different things, but he really stresses this stuff to her. And it's kind of what I don't get is he keeps stressing it in these different ways to her, but yet she keeps keeping him. And I want to believe it's the producers making her keep him, but I just am not sure about it in this case. But he just keeps saying he just doesn't know. And he says, I just don't know how to let it go. And I'll do the very best I can. And I'll try to push my hardest and try my hardest. And for some reason, this, the way he says this and the words he used, I don't even know if in real life, because it makes it be like, well, if you have to try so hard, then maybe it's not meant to be. Because it shouldn't be that hard to try. Again, I get it. This is The Bachelorette. They've known each other for like all of 3 seconds. Totally get it. And I hear what I'm saying. But let's just go with it and say it's for the show. And like she said, and we all say, you know what you're getting into. Ooh, it's thundering. And my stomach just growled. Wow, I'm hoping y'all aren't hearing all that. Did it thunder the last time I was... I feel like I was thundering the last time I was podcasting. Anyway. But I feel like if someone is saying all these things, like I'm really going to try and I'm doing my best. I will try my best, but it was like, I'll try my best, but I can't make any guarantees. And then she still comes back in ITMs that, you know, she can't ask for the perfect answer. She's just asking for him to do her best. So it's like when he says, I'll do my best, it's like her saying, well, that's all I can ask for is the best. I get he can just do his best. That's it. I mean, but should that be the case when you're The Bachelorette and you have all these other guys that are totally into you and willing to, at least I think, willing to just like go for it? So I just not sure what she sees in the guy, you know, and if she sees something in him that we're not seeing, I wish they would kind of show us that too. So she's like, oh, he said I was worth trying it for. And as long as, you know, he feels like that, that really makes me feel good. And that's the, like, that's what I needed to hear. Okay. And I don't know. She ends up like giving him the rose. So it is what it is. We knew that. Okay. All right. So then on to the group date. So we get the group date next and immediately I did not know that this is what they were going to do, but I immediately knew when I saw what she was wearing that there was going to be a Barbie themed date because that's all we are seeing now. Just about everywhere we look is promotion of the movie Barbie, which I cannot wait to see. It looks amazing for real. I cannot wait. Comes out on the 21st, I believe, set next Friday. Definitely want to see it. So, but she's got on this cute, like, I don't really care for this color pink, but again, just a shorts suit to me is so cute. I actually just got one this year, my first ever from Vici. I don't think it's on there anymore. Otherwise I'd tell you it would still go look, but it's yellow and it's a, whatever, it's blazers and a short. Oh my gosh. I wore it to a graduation party and I got so many compliments on it. That's an aside, but she's got a short suit on and is very cute. And, she says it's going to be Barbie date, of course. But the best part is that JoJo and Jordan are, hosting it. And we all love Jordan and JoJo, and they both have very much experience now being hosts. So they're really good at this part. I love, love, love how they're bringing back some of the classic people from past seasons. I feel like they should tap into that more because for one, it just reminds us of like, I don't know, other people that were on the show. But if when you bring back the big names, it just like feeds back into like, look how successful this show is. And like, if we're going to bring on half famous people, just bring on batched people. We love them. We know them. love this part. Love they're doing this season. So basically what the state is going to be is that they have to write new lyrics to the tune of Girls Just Want to Have Fun. And they all have to pick out a classic Ken outfit that there's hanging on the wall. They have to pick one out and wear it for their song. And this date was amazing. Like, I thought this was funny, and it wasn't. It was cringy, but in a funny way. It wasn't like I couldn't look. Like, it was truly cringy like that, where I was covering my eyes, which I did for a little bit of Warwick's date, but it was truly funny. And I thought they edited it well and made it funny and left like goofy parts in. Loved this date. So anyway, I really laugh though at Dotton. When I think about it, I just laugh because he was astronaut Ken and he's got this blonde wig on, but it's like it doesn't even fit him right. Like the it's totally looks crooked on his head. And like, there's one part that's like practically hanging in his eyes, and it just is all cockeyed. And oh my God, it made me laugh so hard every time they did an ITM with him. It was just so funny. But turns out it's going to, like, so they all show them writing their songs and practice. Well, they didn't really show them practicing, but writing their songs with their outfits on. And it turns out it's going to be on a stage in front of this whole big crowd of people, like out by, I guess it's in Malibu, because Malibu Barbie. And it's on, I guess it's in Malibu. I don't really know if I'm saying that, if that's actually correct, but it was by a beach and by a pier. So, and then we learn that the winner is going to get special time with Charity after the show. So you know what? I think I'm going to stop here and come back because I'm almost to my 30 minutes. So, okay. So I will be right back. Okay. I am back. So then we have the actual little performance. And again, I just thought this was well done. Sometimes these type of group dates can be super corny. Like, I think of the comparison of when Zach had that bad bitch date. If you remember that, where the girls had to like come out and act like a bad bitch or whatever. And to me, that was like so cringy. Maybe it was because they were like trying to be sexy and bad bitches, and sometimes just came off as just like an awkward bitch, you know? And like, Zach was making like real awkward statements, like trying to be like, ooh, she's a bad bitch. And he should never say those two words together, because he can't. But this was like, they were in on the joke, obviously, because, you know, they looked ridiculous in their like Ken Barbie outfits, first of all. And then second of all, they all had to sing like those words to Girls Just Want to Have Fun that they made up. And like, none of them, including my opinion, Caleb the Cowboy, like, they made it seem like, oh, okay, he was fine. He was decent. But like, he still was that tremendous. But it was just pure funny, I thought. And they were in on the joke. They were being ridiculous. They're in front of the audience, and they just totally embraced it and had fun with it. So like, okay, these were just like some highlights. So, Dotton, I'm just going to say Dotton. Okay. I know I say that every time I say his name, but I'm just worried I'm saying it wrong. Like, as if he's listening and being like, no, it's Dotton. So Dotton was that astronaut, which I said just totally cracked me up. But so he was first when they showed, and then so he sings the words, and like, his, instead of saying, girls just want to have fun. See, I'm a good singer. I should have been on there. He says, Charity's is bright as the sun. Get it? So clever. But like, he pulls Charity up on stage and like, just whatever. It was cute. But the outfits were just cracked me up, because there was like 80s Ken, there was Cowboy Ken, who was Caleb, the WWE guy, then Birthday Suit Ken, who was John, I believe. And he was just like, looked like he was naked. And just, that makes me laugh. As a side note, who played Barbies growing up? And how excited are you actually about this movie, if you did? I mean, I feel like I played Barbies growing up with my friend Sherry. Like that was our favorite thing to do, was play Barbies. You know, but back when I played Barbies, we weren't nearly as sophisticated as, say, like when my daughter Allie played Barbies. But she also played Barbies. And it's like, that just warms my heart because it's such a classic toy that has had such a huge long life and stayed popular with little girls. And, but did anyone? So I heard that on this Barbie movie, which just looks hilarious and so good. I absolutely cannot wait to watch it. But there's, I forget the actress's name. I can totally see her face. I'm just blanking, but she plays like gymnast Barbie. But I read in like a little blurb that like she's the gymnast that everybody tore the crap out of as her Barbie. And you know that everyone did that. Like everyone had their like junky Barbie that like when they played was like all like the bad. Had the bad roles, or for instance, like when Sherry and I played Barbies, my ugly Barbie or my cheap Barbie or whatever, there was just always an ugly Barbie who had gross hair and all short hair. She like had marker marks on her arm, you know, or she just was gross looking. And so she was like our maid. That's was what she was, our sorry. But yet we had the maid have affairs with Ken. How terrible is that? We're like 10 years old, and I probably watched too much Young and the Restless with my mom at that age. And we had the maid still like obviously was attractive to Ken because she had an affair with Ken against Barbie. So, you know. But another cute thing we did, so I had a little tiny baby Barbie, and it was so cute, just a so little tiny cute baby Barbie. And we wanted to make so that she was sick. So we would put our baby Barbie in the freezer, and then it would get real cold, and then we'd like breathe on her like, with hot air, and she would sweat, and so therefore she had fever and she was sweating. Isn't that creative? Isn't that so clever? But yeah, we didn't have like all our Barbie furniture. When I had my Barbie, we had to make a house. Like we made this house out of like a box, and then. And then we had just like blow up furniture. I remember I had a blow up couch and blow up chairs and like a blow up TV, even I believe. And the bed was a blow up bed. So it was like blow, like little, you had to blow it up, you know? Whereas like Allie had like cool furniture, like a stove that had a little knob that turned and a little dresser that had drawers and these cute little like pictures for the walls and cute little flower and vases. And oh my God, just such loved Barbies. I kind of wish I could still play. Well, I guess I could. So Birthday Suit Ken reminded me of that just because, like, you know, like the Barbies naked. I don't know where I was going with that. I don't know why that reminded me of that, but anyway, it was Birthday Suit Ken. Forget I said that. Then we had Ice Skater Ken, and then we had Double Denim Ken, which made me laugh so much, like Double Denim, because he had a shirt and pants that were both denim, who was Sean. Then we had Rollerblade Ken, we had Merman Ken. I just was cracking up. I just thought this was so hilarious. So then Cowboy Ken, he came out and sang, and he was like trying to show that off, and it made it seem like everybody was like, oh my gosh, that's so, he's so good. He's actually singing. But it actually made me feel kind of weird and awkward when he was like trying too hard to sing really well. And I feel like I could do that. I feel like I could be like, and girls just wanna have fun, you know, and I could pretend like I'm singing good. I have no clue how that's gonna sound on the way back, because you know how when you sing in the car and then you like turn it down and you hear yourself singing and it's horrible. I'm pretty sure that was really horrible, but you get what I mean. Everyone can like quake their voice to a certain extent to kind of sound like they're good. That's what I feel like he was doing. Where am I at? So then Sean's like, oh, I'm gonna get the crowd going, I'm gonna win this like special time with her. So he gets on the stage and he like pulls her up on stage too and kisses her, and he like tries to get the crowd involved and seems to succeed. And then of course he wins. So he gets this like extra time with her, which I feel like is actually not really a big deal, but I wish we knew the time frame that this was occurring, because you like it seemed like the show was over and it was totally light outside, but then they were like showing the clips of he and Charity together, and it was very much like sunset. So maybe they actually got like a few hours to spend together. We never know that kind of stuff. So I would be very curious to know that, like, did they get a half an hour or did they get actually like what time was it? Anyway, doesn't matter. He got the free time. They had their little whatever. But one time they were kissing and it realized how short he actually is, or maybe just how tall all the other guys are, because when they were kissing, and I'm assuming she still had her heels off on too, so like we'll give her like 3 to 4 inches there maybe, but even with that, she's obviously a very petite little girl, and they were almost the same height whenever they were kissing, which seemed very weird, especially with her against these other guys, whatever. So they had Aaron S., who annoys the hell out of me. I don't like him. But he said, makes some comment like, oh, if you want a pretty boy, great. But this made me actually laugh because it was such a stupid comparison, because it was like, oh, if you want a pretty boy, great. And if you want to go to the country clubs and you want to go, what else did he say? You want to be like wine to dine. Great. And I was like, great. Give them to me. Take the whining and dining in the country clubs and a pretty boy. I'll take that. He's like, but if you want to camp and hunt and fish and rock climb, then hit me up. You know, like, well, I mean, you know, neither's that bad there, Aaron S. So I don't know what point you're trying to make here exactly. All right. So then we have the nighttime portion of the group date. And as always, I love the part where they give them two couches to sit on, and both couches are really meant for three people, but especially three like men, but they cram four men on each couch and they have to like actually like, you know, shoehorn their asses in between each other so they can actually fit on this couch. I never understand how could they just get a couch that's a little bit longer, or maybe do three couches and like make it equal. Holy crap. It cracks me up. So all the guys, and I don't, you know, they obviously plan this. I think this stuff is totally producer driven, but it's probably pretty smart just to get kind of the guys like just to get under their skin. But they all come in except Sean. And I guess you're supposed to believe that they all come in because Sean is obviously separate because he had separate time with her. So maybe it took him a little longer to get ready or something, and he just comes in later. Like, we actually have no idea. On the show, it was like the men came in and 2 seconds later, Sean did. Maybe it was actually like half an hour later. I don't know that, but they make him come in separately, and they make him coming in like super cocky and singing really loud and obnoxious. I don't remember what he was singing, but something that, you know, was trying to peacock the fact that he had this extra time with Charity, which I thought was a really stupid move. So because it was such a stupid move, I feel like either A, he's such good friends with the guys that he felt comfortable like teasing them a bit, or B, which is more likely, the producers are like, okay, we need you to go in and just pretend like, you know, you really are a bit flaunting the alone time with them in their face. So my guess is if that was a producer move, and I guess it depends on when he goes home, but that he is easily enticed by the producers. And so maybe he also will be in paradise because he'll be like, you know, a producer's dream. So that's so far we got Brayden and Sean for sure going to paradise. I'm sure a bunch of them will. So anyway, Sean also is the first to ask if he can steal her for a second. And of course, all the guys are totally annoyed and pissed by that. So Charity, she has got a beautiful black dress on that has long sleeves, but the long sleeves have like a slit down, like down the arm. And the slit has some, what seems like similar to like a rhinestone bow, kind of, that are like, there's like 4 or 5 of them evenly placed on the sleeve, like along that slit. And it looked like there were some more, I can't forget where. I'm getting this dress confused with her last dress, but I feel like there's a few more rhinestone details, maybe on the edge of her sleeve, possibly like on her cuff. But she also had this really pretty pink coat on too initially. So again, beautiful outfit. Then we have like James and Aaron. They're exchanging words about James not getting the one-on-one time and whatever. It was kind of, it was a bit babyish or juvenile. I don't know. John has time with her, which is terribly awkward. It's completely obvious he's not the one. You know, some people are saying that they think he's going to be the next Bachelor. I hope not, because again, I feel like John gives me Zach vibes, and John seems like a really nice guy, but he also seems like he is going to be like quite, like the canned phrases are going to come out of his mouth constantly, and that, he's going to be difficult and very cringy to watch. And yeah, I was wrong about Charity, but I didn't think she would be cringy. I just thought she would be boring, but I don't know. We'll see. But he just has real awkward time with her. It's so clear he's not going to make it, because like he gives, again, like when he's with her, he gives her these canned lines that are, you know, and you can tell she's like, oh, that's so sweet. Like, pats him on the head. I feel like that's what she wants to do. I mean, they kiss, but I feel like she's like, oh, you're so cute. Oh, look at you, you little boy. You're so cute. Like, I feel like that's what she's thinking. Tanner talks to her. He gives me Blake Horseman vibes. Like, I think he, like, as far as looks, I don't think he really act, well, I can't really tell. He doesn't get much airtime, but I think he looks similar to Blake. Then here was, and we already talked about this at the beginning, but this is where Doughton comes, and she says she has something special for him and takes him to her room. And they have this, like, he talks about how much this meant to her. I mean, to him, for him to give, for her, for her to give him the special time and how competent she is. And she starts to cry and like made me want to cry because it was super authentic, but he is authentically such a sweet guy. And it's like, he says sweet things, like John says sweet things, but they sound like he came up with them in his room like 2 weeks before he even went to the show, and he would have said them to anybody. But when Doughton says it to Charity, it just seems so, so genuine and sweet. And like, it definitely means it just for her. And God, I love him so much. And of course he gets the rose, so we're very happy about that. All right. So then we have, so we get, because, okay, so then we have the guys, we're getting ready for the next one-on-one. This was such a great one-on-one. We get the next one-on-one, and, Joey, like the guys are all talking about Warwick. I don't know if you say Warwick or Warwick. Let's say Warwick, and that he gets the one-on-one next. And Joey was like, you know, like they all agree that he's a super nice guy, but really he doesn't even talk. Like they, at least the guys claim what we see on camera is that he doesn't even really talk that much to them, that he seems like a super nice guy. He's just quiet. And they're like, well, either he's quiet and he's like a hidden threat, you know, that's going to come out and everyone's going to realize like how charismatic he is and he's going to win her heart, or he's like going to totally go home. And we all know how it ended up. But Joey was like, you know, it's, he so much doesn't even like pop in my head, but that, cause when I read off all the names for the group date, I was like, well, who got the one-on-one? Who's left? Like, he didn't even remember who, oh, Warwick. That's right. I totally forgot about Warwick. So this is interesting because we don't get a daytime portion of this one-on-one, and you know, either there was a daytime portion and they just took it out, or they totally knew she was going to send him home and there was no doubt about it. And they just didn't waste the time with a daytime portion. Like, we'll never know, but it was one or the other. And so it's only nighttime portion. They go to a Belmont Park, which is like a little amusement park on a pier or something. And okay, again, she has this beautiful, gorgeous purple like sequin dress on, and I guess this was supposed to give him a ruse that they were gonna go like to somewhere fancy, but they ended up at an amusement park, because it's obviously, it wasn't a typical dress you'd wear to amusement park, because he was in a tux. But then she had this like really beautiful too, like big fur lavender colored coat to go with it. Oh, I love what she picks to wear. Love it. But then the funny part starts. They first show them like what we're supposed to believe as they're having fun because they're riding roller coasters or like on the merry-go-round and, you know, they're kind of laughing and stuff. You don't really hear them talking, so you don't know what actually was like. But then we show them like getting a beer and they both get a beer and they're like, oh yeah, this is fun, you know, and then they both, you know, they obviously are editing it with no music or anything so as to, you know, she may have awkward silences with lots of other one-on-ones, but they don't air it because it's probably temporary and they know the guy's not going home, but they totally like had him drinking the beer and just like looking around and they took another drink and they looked around some more and she was clearly always the one to start the conversation. He was never really a conversation starter. And then they did, and they were going to go eat ice cream. And so she was like, oh, what kind of ice cream you want? And so they pick out their ice cream. And so she was annoyed because like, she thought he should like offer to scoop her ice cream. Let me get your ice cream for you. Let me be a little bit like, not progressive. Let me be a little aggressive, not aggressive. What's the word I'm looking for? Just like take the initiative, right? And like, here, let me get that for you. But he didn't, and didn't even acknowledge that he didn't, or didn't like at all do anything. So she didn't like that. Then they show him in the ITM. All he says is like, you know, amusement parks make me tired. And so then they show them at like what was supposed to be like the nighttime portion. This would be like the classic time when a guy would reveal his PTC and be like, tell her whatever trouble he's had or challenge he's had in his life. And so she sits down and she's like, basically in so many words says, tell me more, and asks pretty specific questions. I didn't really write that down what the questions were, but she was like, you know, so what are some weaknesses of yours in a relationship? And he was like, I don't know, I guess, I don't know if I have any weaknesses per se. I guess probably what would be one of my weaknesses would be communication. She was like on the side, like during her ITMs, they show her like sitting there and like rolling her eyes or like pounding her head, like, oh my God. But before she asked that question, she asked something about what he likes most. I don't know what he likes most about a relationship or what he looks for. I'm not sure what it was, but again, he was like, I can't really think of anything. I don't really have anything, I guess. I always feel sorry for this guy because I wish I knew how he actually was. I hope on the Men Tell All that they maybe address him or see if he actually talks more. Like, was this completely, totally in the edit? They didn't make it seem like it because it definitely seemed like he was like that with the guys too. But I like almost feel sorry for this guy and his family because he got such a yawn, totally boring, zero personality type of guy edit. But it was so humorous to me. Like even Tim stopped, he was doing something and he even stopped to watch this and like was a little bit amused by it. But obviously she tells him that she just can't give him the rose because she thinks they're on different pages. And he's like, okay, no problem. And then she's like, I'm really sorry. She kind of puts her head down. She's like, I'm really sorry. And he's like, it's okay. It's fine. So she walks up to the limo and then they have him getting in. Again, I wonder how much they stretch this, but he like is yawning super much. And the producer like says, so why did she say you're going home? And he's like, I'm like, that wasn't me yawning. That's like mocking him. Like she said, we were like on that on the same page, I guess. And then he yawns again. They ask him another question and he just yawns. And then he literally falls asleep and they have the producer going, Warwick? Again, not sure if this is scripted or not, but it was funny. I thought this was super funny. I really liked this date. Even though he went home, I thought it was very entertaining. I thought it was a very entertaining date. Let's see where we're at. 20. Okay. Then we get, we have a guy chat and Brayden is again telling the other guys that he just is not sure if he can do this. And he's like, you know, I'm not sure if I'm okay with dating, you know, dating a girl who's also dating 20 of my best guy friends. And, you know, like, fair, but you came on the show, like, you literally came on the show knowing that's what it was. And if you at all had any doubts, you know your personality, you knew you got cheated on. So why are you then on here? Except if he's really just playing the game well. This is what I wonder. If he, his ultimate goal is not to be on Bachelor in Paradise. And so he knows he, you know, needs to make a good impression, needs to make on the producers mainly, so they pick him, needs to make it look like he's entertaining, fun to watch, isn't really as into Charity as he makes her believe. So therefore he's telling the guys this because he knows it's his easy way out eventually, and that he can go out with a bang and he can really make his mark on the show. Like, let's just say that he's that smart that he's going to do that. But let's say he's not. It's silly to use that as an excuse on the show at this point. But also, it's more silly to me, like, if you're legit about that reasoning, to tell the guys behind Charity's back he's telling Charity too, but he's downplaying it more than he is to the guys. He called her classless, not to her face. She was told that he said that. She forgave that. He actually questioned to her face her character. She still is letting him there. He questioned the character to the other guys. Now he's like just saying he can't do this. Whatever. I think that it's just silly that he is using that like as a legitimate excuse to her. Even though I can agree with it, but I just wouldn't go on the show because I couldn't do it. So anyway, it's now the cocktail party. And again, beautiful black dress. Compliments her like body just perfectly. She's got a really high split, and like along both sides of the split is like, it looks maybe like an applique. I don't think it's rhinestones. I think it's just like a shimmery applique, but beautiful. Also has this like really pretty fur black wrap to go over it that she wears part of the time too. But gorgeous. Oh, I like that word. I was going to say beautiful and then gorgeous. So it was gorgeous. It was so gorgeous. Let's make that a word. Joey's the first guy to talk to her there, and he has letters from his grandpa that he shares with her, and this means a lot to her. Then Xavier knitted her a scarf and gave her the scarf, and she really likes that. He says he's never knitted anything for anyone else before, just like for himself, I guess. And then she talks to Brayden. And this is where I really see her and feel like she truly is smitten with him. I don't know if it's his looks, if he really has that great of a personality, what it is, because like, if even with both Joey and Xavier, and Joey, I think she has a lot of connection with, but she's more like sitting upright and isn't leaning into like the body language, I guess, is what's telling me this. Like when she is sitting with Brayden, she's just sitting with that more relaxed posture and leans against him, leans against the couch, just like rests on him. It just is a different vibe that she has with Brayden, which is why I think she does really like him. Is he growing a mustache? Like, has he grown that mustache since he's been on? Because I feel like I don't think of him with a mustache from the first couple shows, but he like has a mustache now, which gross, because that totally gives me Sandoval, and I don't, yuck. Like, is that, if that's what he's going for, then please kick him off. But then we hear Aaron B saying that Brayden is not there for the right reasons, and that he decides he's going to tell Charity about him. Like, I'm going to basically do a tattle. So no longer Adrian, but now we've got Aaron B doing this, which seems a bit out of character for Aaron B. This seemed more like what Adrian would do, but anyway, it's Aaron B. So then he has his time with her, and he tells her that Brayden, like, he just comes out and said, I mean, I don't know how much they talked before, but he tells her that he's talked in the house about the exact thing that he has said. He doesn't know if he wants to date someone who's dated 20 of his friends, and that he just isn't sure he can do this. And I guess, I don't know why it hits harder, because really, he didn't say that about the 20 friends, but it hits harder to Charity, obviously, hearing it from Aaron B, because he's definitely saying it like in a protective mode where you know, he's stressing it more, I think, than maybe Brayden is, or she's willing to hear it more coming from somebody else. Whatever it is, she's hearing this more from Aaron than she is when Brayden actually says it to her. So she says she's irritated by a million. Aaron is up front with Brayden and just tells him up front that he talked to Charity about him and what he has said. So it's like a weird thing because Brayden, when Brayden and Aaron are talking together, Brayden doesn't seem super pissed, but in his ITMs, he's like, so like getting really dramatic and like upset, but he's like using, you know, he's very, very, physical means to show how he's feeling. His arms are flailing. He's getting up. He's walking back. Like in his ITMs, he's very physical with that. And so you can tell he's really obviously upset, but he doesn't like seem real super upset to Aaron's face. He's just like, says he wish he wouldn't have done that. So then Brayden, he just is like going off on him, and Charity's like off to the side with, I'm sure, producer, just like questioning this, and it's pissing her off, and looks more and more like she's getting more and more pissed off. Like, I mean, you can actually tell in her face. This is like the part where I was like really watching, like, what is going to happen, even though I knew he wasn't going to get kicked off, because, you know, we have the scene coming up in the future that we know still has to happen, so he's not going to. I'm like, she really seemed pissed to me. Like, her face looked pissed, her body language looked pissed. When she marched in then and grabs him, she like storms back into where they all were, and like, I mean, her, the top of her body was leaning forward and she was walking with a purpose, and she grabs him and says, we have to talk. So they go and talk, and it was James and Tanner that were talking, and I thought this was an interesting conversation. Clearly James is a student of the game, because he says to Tanner, like, they were talking because they're like, well, he's safe because he's got a rose. And James says, that can be taken off. He goes, it's been done before. So he clearly has watched the show and knows that that can happen, which I thought was funny. And then Tanner's like, no, he'll talk his way out of it. So that's what he does, which is true. So they talk, and again, like, she acts at the beginning very pissed at him, and he does, but he does a good job. I'm just saying it. I don't. Cuts me off all the time. He does a good job of defending it in a way, I think. I mean, I don't think she should keep him on. I don't like it. But like, he speaks logically, like a logical person speaks about The Bachelor, but it doesn't speak how a person on The Bachelor should speak. Does that make sense? Like, what he's saying is true, but you can't think that, and you can't be that way when you're on the show, because you've been cast for it. You know the deal. And like, so now you're going to say that it bothers you because there's the other guys. And then now you're going to say that, you know, you don't know, you've only known her. Because he's saying, you know, like, but it's true. Like, I don't know how some of these guys can say they're going to marry you already when they have only known you for 3 weeks. Or like, I do have trouble with it. I can't see that anyone doesn't have trouble with it. Well, like, you know what I mean? Like, the things he says are true, but it's still not something that should be, it should be a red flag for her as far as like choosing one of these guys. Especially if he's just not, if he's not sure he's going to be able to do this, then in my opinion, as a lead, it's just the choice you have to make to get rid of them, because whatever, unless she absolutely does not like any of the other guys at all, like for real behind the scenes, and just doesn't, and would rather take a chance with him because she just feels like there is something, and if it doesn't work out, so be it, because she doesn't really like any of the other guys, then like in a real world situation, I guess, fine. But either way, she gets less and less mad the more he talks, and she says like, I'm not questioning what we have. What in the world do I have here? I'm looking at my notes and I have no idea what I typed here. Never mind. I'm not going to explain it because it makes no sense. I have something real weird that popped up on my notes. That's something from something completely not to do with The Bachelor. It's from our Airbnb, and it all pasted into this document somehow. Okay. So anyway, they have this talk, and she's trying to make her point that she's not questioning their behavior, like their connection, but he's questioning like the stuff he's saying to the other guys behind her back. And he continues to try to defend that, you know, anything he's saying, he feels like he's already said to her face. And so I don't know. It's almost like they agree to disagree. Obviously, I don't think we see the entire conversation. So it just sort of ends and we're not supposed to know really, I feel like, what, you know, where she stands yet. But then what is so annoying, this is the kind of stuff that annoys me, that makes me feel like he truly is not there for the right reasons and that this is the reason she shouldn't pick him, is because then he walks back in like they're done and she goes to like, quote unquote, think about it some more. And then he goes back to the guys and there's this scene of where he's walking back in and like, obviously there's a camera on him and there's no one else around. And he does some really like stupid kind of like dance thing or like, I don't know, whatever. It's completely just a peacocking move to like get on to get more screen time. And to me, that is super annoying. And actually it's not annoying. It's probably a good move for him, but it's just like, it's not something you want to see in her, who she picks. Right. So it just depends how you look at it. So he's acting cocky. Then Jesse comes to the men. They're all sitting there and he tells them that she's feeling very conflicted because of something she's heard, but there will be a roast ceremony, but that the cocktail party's over. So then they show Jesse talking with Charity and he asks if she trusts Brayden. And she says she doesn't know for sure and that she's considering taking the rose away. So she comes in for the roast ceremony. And this is the order the roses are given out then. So we've got Aaron B, we've got Caleb, we have Xavier, then Joey, then Michael, then John, then Sean, then Tanner. And then Jesse comes out and then she goes and like takes a minute and then comes back. And he's like, I guess Jesse talks to her again. And she's like, I'm just, you know, I think I know what I want to do. She goes back and she just stands there. And then they show Jesse come in and he announces, if you didn't get a rose, you go ahead and leave. So I guess what they're doing is waiting for Jesse to come back and say, Brayden, you need to return your rose. I don't even know how they would do that. Apparently they've done that before, but I don't remember who or how or what season. So I'm not sure how that would have been done, but nevertheless, it didn't happen. We all knew that wasn't going to. And that was that. She kind of ITMs that the connection she feels with him on a personal level is the reason that she is basically giving him another chance. And so she lets him stay. So then we get the previews and we see that Doten gets a one-on-one. It looks like Xavier, I think, maybe is the one that gets the other one-on-one. Again, why do they spoil this? Why don't they do what they used to do and just show like the backs of the heads or like just her talking to one of them or something? I wish they wouldn't spoil this because when they used to like that cut was sort of a surprise factor, that just added a little something to the show that made you anticipate it. But we know that, which I am glad Doten is getting one. So that makes me happy. And then finally, it looks like this coming week is when we have the Brayden showdown in the scene that I've been talking about with the scarf on and he gets pissed and he walks out. Now it looks like he's leaving, but I don't know if he like the whole thing. So that happens this coming week. So either he goes home this coming week or like they're making it look like it and she still keeps him. If she still keeps him, I'm going to like start to question like who's running the show here. I don't know. So we'll see. But anyway, that is our recap. Again, I really enjoy this, man. If you have anyone that hasn't watched it and they're questioning whether to watch it, please tell them they should start with this episode this season, because it's so good. Allie is coming home for a few weeks just to whatever, be home for a bit. So I don't think she's watching the show, but I'm going to see if she will just watch it with me and maybe recap with me for the next week or two or three, depending on exactly how it works. So we'll see. So I may have her as a guest host. But other than that, I again encourage you guys to go give me a 5-star rating. Would really appreciate any reviews that you could give me. Would be great if you could subscribe or follow or tell your friends. I would appreciate all those things because you know that that helps me a lot and I do very much need help. Well, I don't really care, but I do care a lot and it just would help me a bunch. But The Bible verse for this week is, "For the Lord is good, his unfailing love continues forever, and his faithfulness continues to each generation." This is Psalm 100, verse 5. So I hope that you all have a great week, and we will talk to you next week. Bye.